Well, it is a blessing to be here, and certainly we are a small congregation, one of the smallest, I think, today. It was just a handful here. But, you know, I've been watching some of the religious channels on TV, and I'm seeing what is being proclaimed and the different feel-good messages out there. In fact, this morning, went ahead and turned on just to see what was showing. And what I'm noticing is that there are these, I don't know if you've ever seen The Tonight Show, Regis, and these type of programs where they sit down and they have guests come on and they interview them and these type of things. And they have all these musicians and they do a lot of singing. But then they talk about just regular stuff. Yahweh's word isn't really prevalent there. Well, this morning, I witnessed this. They had at least 12 or so talented musicians, and then they went into into their seating positions, and they started to talk about different things. One scripture was brought up. Not verbatim. In fact, the gentleman had a hard time remembering what the scripture was. And then he basically said, well, you know, that's enough of that. And he motioned his hand that was enough of that. That was his exact words. That was enough of that. And I thought to myself, that's enough of that? That's the only scripture I've heard in the last 6 minutes, you know, which seemed like a long time as I was listening. But then they proceeded on. One of the questions was, what was the name of our dog, our new dog? And I'm thinking, and this is supposed to be religious. They're not even getting into Yahweh's word. Well, I imagine that they did get into it a little bit later, but it was a shame that here they have this airtime reaching out to millions, and they have a beautiful stage, a beautiful area to meet with or meet in. And they're all well-dressed and these type of things. And they have all these musicians and the instrumentation. You know, it's like entertainment. And I think the ones going there were wanting to be entertained because it just seemed like it was a regular daytime or late-night type program. Nothing religious really about it, except maybe some of the songs. Well, you know, watching preachers on TV recently, and the common theme was feel-good stories without a lot of reference to the Bible. Motivational speakers, self-help seminars, which for the day leave you emotionally charged but will soon wear off. And then you must come again to be emotionally charged, again seeking the good and pleasant, smooth words, which makes one feel good. There is joy and happiness knowing that we have a high priest in heaven at the right side of Yahweh. But our preaching is to be balanced with the reality of the message of repentance, of Yahweh's word. We are to preach repentance so that the people can repent and change and come to the everlasting joy of the Master. We are to remove the leaven out of our lives. But how can that be done if Scripture is not taught properly? And this, is, of course, was one of the things that Paul made sure that he drilled into Titus and also Timothy in the pastoral epistles for the assemblies there. He said, preach the word. Make sure it's sound doctrine. And, don't get off track is basically the message. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, I was listening to one gentleman the other day. And he has a congregation of at least 10,000. When you look up at the ceiling, there's a nice blue glow and just beautiful seating and stage. It's really nice. But I've seen this individual before, and then there are others. And every time I turn to watch them, I don't necessarily turn to watch them, but I'll stop on the channel and watch them for a little bit. And every time they've been talking about, you know, how we need to get out of our box and shine and be be wonderful in the day and these type of things, but yet nothing is really being said about what Yahweh's word says. So a lot of it is preaching about feeling good, about motivation, and I've been to motivational seminars, and you feel pumped. The music pumps you. The speaking pumps you. It pumps you up so that you feel good, that you're motivated. There are sales seminars. There are self-help seminars. And these type of messages that we're seeing today with these evangelists are like self-help, motivational, feel good, go out and take charge of the day. And yet, there's really not a lot of substance in those messages. And they keep repeating them again and again. And I do think there is a cycle that is being produced in which to feel good like that, to be lifted up like that, you want to go back, because during the week, you know, those emotional highs come down because there's not really a lot of substance that they take home with them. 2 Timothy 4, starting in verse 2. What does Yahweh's word say? Preach the word. What is the word? The word is Scripture. The word is the Old Testament. The word is the New Testament that we have today. But what they had was the Old Testament. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. This is what it says. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So we have two things. Itching ears. Those wanting to have their ears itched. Going back every week, getting their ears itched and feeling good. Then on the other hand, we're seeing that Paul is telling Timothy, reprove, rebuke, exhort. In other words, give the message of truth so that the people will repent and change and start doing what the word says. It says, preach the word. Why? Because they will eventually not endure sound doctrine, but rather turn away from the truth to myths. So what are we to do? We're to be sober, and we're to teach the word, and we're to be ready in season and out of season. I find it quite striking what's happening today. Paul's words have come true. His prophecy of they will not endure sound doctrine has come true. Galatians 1. It's a very serious matter, and Galatians points to that fact. Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 8. Galatians 1, starting in chapter 1 and verse 8, starting there. But even we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you an evangel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again, if any man is preaching to you an evangel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of Yahweh? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant to Messiah. And of course, we know in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, follow me as I follow the Messiah. The Messiah tells us to take up our stake and to follow him. He suffered And if we're going to follow him in his footsteps, we're going to suffer. Yet the message today is prosper. Verse 11, for I would have you know, brethren, that the evangel which was preached by me is not according to man. And it's not. It's according to Yahweh's word. And that's exactly what Yahshua tells us to do, to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. He told us who his brothers and sisters were, those that do the will of the Father. And we're told much more. But in Romans 7, verse 14, we find that the law is spiritual. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, we're told not to quench the Spirit. The Spirit is what provided the Word for us. We're told in Matthew to rise up above the letter of the law and to get into the Spirit, into the essence of that law, so that we're led by the Spirit. And if we're led by the Spirit, we will not be breaking the law. The fruits of the Spirit are such that if you are having love, proper love, if you are having patience and looking out for others, then you will be fulfilling the law because you won't be breaking it. Acts chapter 20, let's turn there. Acts chapter 20 and verse 29. I know that after my departure, Paul speaking here, I know after my departure, savage wolves, and of course wolves roam around in packs, they get together and they look for who they can devour. Savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Different teachings. One of the things that we're to do, one of the paramount things we are to be careful of is the doctrines that we hold, the teachings. We're not to be supporting false doctrines. We're not supposed to be just going to have some fellowship. We're supposed to be coming and worshiping our Heavenly Father, coming before His throne through Yahshua on the days He tells us to keep and at those times that He tells us to keep them. That's why we're here. And guess what? We don't have an auditorium full of thousands of people. We have just a few. But the few that are here are dedicated to doing Yahweh's will. And we're so dedicated that we are willing to give up our lives for this faith. And it is a faith. It's a faith of obedience. And if you don't have the obedience, then the faith is no good. And that's what's been pointed out with Abraham, for example, in Hebrews chapter 11. But you go back to Genesis chapter 26, I think it is, you find that Abraham kept Yahweh's precepts. He kept his charge. He kept his laws. And he did what he asked of him. That's what made Abraham a faithful man. And we are to have faith of the same sort. We're not to be lacking that faith or having a faith that is a different type of evangel, one that is a false faith, one that is without works. Does the Bible teach that we'll be rich in this life? I mean, that's a question we can ask ourselves. We do know that we can ask for whatever we want and we'll receive it, right? Well, not if we ask for things for ourselves that are selfish. Not if we ask for some sin to take place. Do we seriously think that Yahweh would grant us something that His own Spirit, that His own Word is not for? But we do have needs, and Yahweh understands this. And many times we do come before His throne asking for help, asking for guidance, asking for His will to be worked out in our lives. And we're assured again and again, you know, that we're not compared to sparrows, but that is an analogy that Yahshua used. And He said, you know, aren't we worth more than sparrows? So you know, even it was related that every hair on our head is counted and can be named. So Yahweh knows what we need before we even ask. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 33, does the Bible teach that we'll be rich in this life? Acts chapter 20 and verse 33. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. And remember the words of the Master Yahshua, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And yet I think many times we see those going to these motivational type speaking seminars. I mean, how can they even be called religious organizations? They're self-help and motivational type seminars, as far as I can see. The people that are going there are wanting to feel good. They want to hear the message that they can break out of their box and prosper. But you hear the same messages at sales seminars and other places. Yahweh's word says we're going to end up having to go through trials and troubles and tribulations. That's a little different than gaining the gold and silver of this world. Matthew chapter 8. We find Yahshua's own example was one of humbleness, and he wasn't parading around with wealth. And yet you find this happening today. There are those that they have. In fact, I did, in going through the channels this morning, these religious channels, I don't even know why I have them on. I went ahead and canceled a number of the channels because it's just a bunch of garbage on them. And these, I find similar garbage. This guy had all sorts of rings on, big old watch, and he was pumping up the crowd. He was saying, we need to get to it. We need to get out there. We need to share the word. And then all of that, he was not sharing the word. He was being a motivational speaker, for sure. And he was actually, you could see the veins in his face coming alive, and he was getting red because he was, getting all motivated and motivating and getting people to cheer and to cry out in the audience. I don't think we find that sort of preaching in Scripture. What about when Stephen went before the leaders, the people, and they killed him for his message? I don't think they liked what he said. And people today will not like exactly what we say, but we have to say it. And we have to let people know they need to repent. This was John the Baptist's message. This was Yahshua's message. This was what the disciples were to proclaim as well. They were to proclaim the good news, for sure. But they were also to teach of repentance and that salvation is through the Messiah and that we really need to walk in His footsteps. And, of course, He didn't sin, not once. And never will. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20. Yahshua said to him, let's back up to 19. Then a scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. I would have liked to have seen the expression on Yahshua's face. It must have been one of, oh, really? Because he says, verse 20, Yahshua said to him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. How about that? I'm homeless. You're really wanting to follow me? That's basically what he said. But yet he knew all of his needs would be provided for. Those that followed him, their needs were provided for. As we follow Yahshua, in the Spirit and in the truth of Yahweh's word, we will be provided for. That is a joyful message. But we have to understand that, we will go through difficulties. We will go through trials. We will suffer. Yahshua was humble, and he was certainly doing his Father's will, striving to help others learn and to grow. He had the disciples with him. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 21. Yahshua said to him, and this is speaking to the rich man. And in fact, let's back up and take a good look at this account. Verse 16, and someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good." Again, Yahshua is humbling himself, making sure that he doesn't, certainly not get above his Father. He says, "No one is good, but if you wish, there's only one who is good," and that he's speaking of his Father. "But if you wish to enter life, keep the commandments." Is that what we're hearing today? If you want to enter into the coming kingdom, keep the commandments of Yahweh. I'm hearing motivational messages. I'm hearing self-help messages. Messages that will feel good, that appeal to the senses. They're smooth words. But rarely do you hear, "If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." Whose commandments? It's got to be Yahweh's commandments. Who is Yahshua giving glory to? Who is he submitting himself to? Yahweh. And who are we to follow? Whose example are we to follow? Yahshua's. It's plain. It's simple. It's clear. And yet so many people are missing it. They're missing the boat. But isn't that the way it was during Noah's time? How many missed the boat? How many were actually on the boat? It's a question we have to ask ourselves. Verse 18, then he said to him, "Which ones?" Yahshua said, and he started listening of the Ten Commandments, foundational. You shall not commit a murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, "All these things I have kept, but what am I still lacking?" Yahshua said to him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But the young man, heard the statement. When he heard it, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Yahshua said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of Yahweh." When his disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, "Well, then who can be saved?" And looking at them, Yahshua said to them, "With people this is impossible. With Yahweh, all things are possible." And so it's a hard path. It's a straight, narrow path. It's one we need to be on. I couldn't help but think of our newly baptized brother, Robert, from Massachusetts. He has found a pearl of great price, as spoken of in Matthew, in which he is choosing to give up his life and other worldly pursuits, basically because he has to change his way of life, just as we have had to change our way of life, to be led by the Spirit, to be in line with the Word of Yahweh, to be changed into, to eventually be changed into Spirit at the return of Yahshua the Messiah. And there, at that time, there will be joy and prosperity at that time. For those who overcome and are faithful to the end. Overcoming and being faithful are synonymous with being obedient and maintaining faith in Yahweh through Yahshua. Lose either and you lose out. Let's go over to Matthew 7. Now, I'll show you exactly what I mean. It'd be kind of nice to hear some of these speakers, these preachers, these teachers out there that are speaking and giving smooth messages and walking around on stage and waving their hands. One guy, we turned the station, my wife and I were sitting there, and we were watching this one guy. He was moving around, moving his arms, and then he just kind of stood there. And we kind of looked at each other like, what is he doing? Is this for real? They're in a fantasy land. They're in a fantasy land because they're not teaching the words, the truth of Yahweh's word. They're deceived. They're blind. And they've got a lot of people following them. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Master, Master, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Master, Master, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Let's put in faith there. Many will say to me, well, Master, Master, did I not have faith to prophesy in your name? Did I not have faith to cast out demons? Did I not have faith performing many miracles in your name? Verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Practice lawlessness. You're breaking the law. Again, what law? What commandments? The ones Yahshua lifted up. The ones that those in the New Testament could look at. They're the ones found in the Old Testament. That first agreement. We do have a second agreement today that we're saved through our Messiah, justified through Him. That we are not justified through the law. But we know very well that we can lose out on salvation. Even Paul himself said he had to discipline his body. Otherwise he might be found unworthy. That he may be found missing the mark. And so we have things to do. Our work has to be, our faith has to be in combination with faith. But think of this, all those that are saying, well, I'm doing all this for you. And then, verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There's no question what he's saying. There's no question of what's coming. And the more I think about it, the more concern I think I have for these people. But you read in Matthew 7 and verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. It says, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? For every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. But if we're in Yahweh's Spirit, if we're following His Word, we're going to be producing good fruit. We're going to be producing the kind of fruit that is not disobeying the law. We won't be sons of disobedience, we'll be sons of obedience. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians... Chapter 12. How many really care what's going on today? I think when they hear these messages that are feel good and they sound good and they're smooth words without the substance of Yahweh's word, because Yahweh's word says we're basically going to suffer. And there's reasons for that. Joshua said, "Follow me," and he suffered. Of course, he kept Yahweh's instructions, and that's the other thing too. When we do that, we're going to end up losing jobs, losing friends, losing family, we're going to end up losing things. We're going to end up losing these type of things. We'll be able to find other work. We'll be able to find new friends. We'll be able to have new family. A lot of it is in the spiritual sense. But Joshua said, you know, you're going to have to love these things less than him. Otherwise, we can't be his disciple. And we're told that we're going to be hated for his namesake, because we're proclaiming his name, proclaiming the truth. It's not going to be what people want to hear. Repent. Change. Stop sinning. Start doing right. People don't want to hear that. People want to hear, you can make it, you can do it, you can be powerful, you can stand tall, you can walk tall, you can go out and be joyful and happy and have good feelings. You can do all these things. Well, I think there is real joy when we come into the faith, knowing what's coming in the future. But really, that's where the reward is. That is where we need to be looking, and we need to be seeking Yahweh's face and his righteousness there. And we need to be heading that way. But why would Paul ask us to suffer with him? 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8. Concerning this, I implored the master. He had a thorn in his flesh. He said, concerning this, I implored the master three times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. His power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast in my weaknesses, so that the power of Messiah may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Messiah's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Notice these things that he talked about. Weaknesses, insults, distresses, persecutions. Do you hear that being taught from the pulpits today in these mega churches that have thousands following these ministers and following the teachings and going there every week? What if they change their tune? Saying, look, you're going to have distresses, there's going to be persecutions, you're going to have difficulties, and there's going to be weakness within you. Would they go? That's not the kind of happy, feel-good message we would necessarily appeal to our flesh. But Paul is wanting to encourage. He is encouraging. But he's also speaking truth when he says, look, this is the reality of the situation. You need to understand that, he's basically saying. Does the Bible teach, does Scripture teach that we should have prosperity in this life? That's a good question. Does it teach it? Should we have prosperity in this life? You may be able to think of a couple scriptures. Let me go to Acts chapter 9. If you would, turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 16. Joshua said concerning Paul, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, Paul was in a unique situation because he was persecuting the body. and he had evidently put some to death. So he really did have to suffer, I think, maybe even more than most. But we're told that we're going to suffer as well. Let's go over to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of Elohim. And if children, heirs also, heirs of Elohim, heirs of Yahweh, and fellow heirs with the Messiah, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. So what comes first? Suffering. What comes second? Glory. We're told ahead of time. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 4. For indeed we were, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. And so it came to pass, as you know. Going on, verse 5, for this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might be tempted, might have tempted you, and our labor would be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and your love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us, just as we have also longed to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all of our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live, if you stand firm in the Master. Standing firm, standing upright, standing for what's right, what's true, and what's good. Standing for Yahweh's word, standing up at this last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread in obedience to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, and respecting our Master who gave His life for us. Because He would be doing the same thing. In fact, in us, He's doing these things. Let's go over to Philippians. Book of Philippians. Philippians 1 and verse 29. For to you it has been granted for Messiah's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Suffering, trials, trouble, experiencing hardship, following in Yahshua's footsteps, losing employment, losing friends, losing family, but at the same time gaining all these things. Because when you lose one job, another is given. May take some time, but it happens. New friendships occur. The best friendships are within the body. Close, intimate, spiritual. Adoptions occur within the family. Again, Yahshua said, who are my brothers? Who's my mother? Who's my sister? Those who do the will of my Father. Second Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Messiah Yahshua. We want to encourage people by helping them to understand that, yes, they will suffer, but suffer for the right things. I mean, the world goes through difficulties and troubles. There are people committing suicide because of the financial woes. They've lost half their fortune. They're still a millionaire, and yet they take their life. Kind of, you know, where are the priorities? It's just like the rich man that couldn't sell his wealth to follow the Messiah, the one that would give him more than, that would, he would inherit with him more than this world can possibly offer. They couldn't walk away from it. A lot of people, they can't walk away from their lives to follow this way of life. They just can't do it. They are unwilling. But for the sake of, you know, looking good, maybe for the children, they'll go to a congregation somewhere. As long as the messages are, you know, feel good, building up, you know, not talking about so much of the repentance stuff and this other stuff. Just like the guy who was on TV today started to quote scripture, and he said, never mind about that. Let's move on. Not good. 2 Timothy, let's see. You read this already? Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier, the Messiah Yahshua. Okay, let's close up here. To cover the points. Point number one. There will be those that seek out teachers to tell them what they want to hear. Those teachers will be false because they do not teach obedience in combination with faith. Breaking the seventh-day commandment is not being obedient to the law. It's just not. Neither is teaching Christmas or Easter or using substitutes for the names of the Father and His Son. It's all lawlessness. And we already know what Yahshua said to those that were saying, but in your name, didn't we do these things? Get away from me. Depart from me. I never knew you. You who work lawlessness. You're sinners. You're not keeping the law of my Father. You're not doing His will. You're none of mine. You're not my brother. You're not my sister. You're false. Untrue. Unrighteous. Number two. Covering these points, the Bible doesn't teach a prosperity doctrine, but rather a narrow way to enter into eternal life. The other way, the easy and wide path, leads to death. It's a simple message. Follow the straight and narrow, and it leads into eternal life. Following in Yahshua's footsteps, following in Paul's, following in the other footsteps of those that are heading that way. Many are called, but few are chosen. It's not an easy route, but it's a route that leads to eternal life. Number three, we find that if we suffer to do good, seeking after Yahweh and His righteousness first, then there will be a reward. We are to build up a reward in heaven, not on earth. Let's go over to Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 4. Ezekiel chapter 9. And verse 4. Ezekiel 9 and verse 4. Yahweh said to him, go through the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations which are being committed in its midst. Right now, in this world, there are abominations being committed. And instead of crying out and getting people to listen and to repent, there are preachers preaching smooth words, doctrines of prosperity, motivational type speakers, appealing to those that are looking to themselves. They're self-gratifying, lovers of themselves, rather than lovers of Yahweh. Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 10. We'll close with this. And here we find prophecy. Prophecy of the remnant. Prophecy of those who will make it. It says, "And the ransomed of Yahweh will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. But in this life, with the abominations that are going on around us, with false teachers preaching things that they should not be preaching, there's going to be sorrow, there's going to be sighing. But we have a great future ahead of us if we follow the straight and narrow path. If we suffer now, we will be glorified. If we give up our lives now and overcome to the end, following Yahweh's word and walking in the Spirit, there is a great joy. There is going to be pure happiness like we've never known, nor can we truly express at this time. But it takes sacrifice. Yahshua said, take up your stake and follow him. It's not an easy path. Those that say otherwise are liars, and the truth is not in them. So may Yahweh bless and help you to consider all these things.